This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or TryZonaNow.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots to talk about this weekend, and we invite you to come directly into the doctor's office. 888-302-3684 is our number, and you can call us with your questions. We always love to hear from you, and you can weigh in with your comments or questions. 888-302-3684 is our number. And so make sure to weigh in and call. We always love to get participation from our audience. We got lots to talk about, though, this weekend. It is a very stressful weekend, double witching hour in terms of influences that promote stress. Because obviously, what I'm talking about is this election that's looming over us. And it is by no means a foregone conclusion. The polls are getting closer and closer, and that's causing a great deal of anxiety on both sides. This has been a hotly contested election for, what, about 3.5 years? Something like that. It's incredible because people have been queuing up and lining up, and then we had the rancorous primaries, and we've had all the back and forth. And the warring sides are intensifying the rhetoric. And so this week is going to be tense. And there's going to be some sleep deprivation, I guarantee you, on Tuesday night as people await the returns. And so that's going to add to our stress. And in fact, so much so that one local hospital here on Long Island, we're broadcasting out of New York City, one local Long Island hospital has banned heated political debates in their cardio rehab unit's gym. And that kind of makes sense because, you know, you're there likely after a heart attack or maybe bypass surgery. And the last thing you want to get into is a heated political debate, you know, where the veins are popping out on your temples and your blood pressure is soaring. So they literally put up a large pink sign that reads, quote, "Due to the fact that we have patients with heart conditions, we cannot allow political debates in the gym." So reports WCBS 880's Sophie Hall. The manager of the cardiac rehab section of Southampton Hospital, Jessica Swiatocha, said she posted the sign after she saw patients getting upset in heated debates over the presidential election. She said it could be bad for their hearts. Quote, "We have patients that are recovering from heart surgery and other various heart conditions. The last thing we want to do is increase their stress levels because it's going to increase cortisol levels." That's actually something we measure when we look at patients at the Hoffman Center. We give them kits that they take home and they spit into test tubes, and we can then analyze the results, and we can measure cortisol levels. And often our stressed-out New York City patients have very high levels of cortisol. So they don't want to increase their stress levels because it's going to increase cortisol, and it's going to make them more prone to irregular heart rhythms as well as increases in blood pressure. Swiatocha said she's not trying to squelch free speech. Politics can be discussed, but only in a calm manner. Yeah, right. You can discuss politics, she says, but you just cannot debate them because when you get into a debate standpoint, it gets a little bit heated and not everybody wants to hear everybody's opinion. People have the right to come in and be able to do their rehab sessions in the gym. So that's number one stressor. And an additional stressor this weekend is the switch from daylight savings time to standard time. Now, a lot of people welcome that switch because, you know, spring forward, fall back, and you get an extra hour of sleep. And that you can luxuriate in sleep on a Sunday morning because you're going to get yet another hour. And one thing that I like about the switch back to standard time is that these days, you know, we get up early, you wake up in the total darkness, and maybe you want to get up and go out for a run, but you don't want to be chased by a derelict or a mugger in the dark as I run through New York City. So, you know, you want the daylight with you. But now the problem is going to be that around 4:30 or so, it's going to be pitch dark. And according to a study that was done in Copenhagen in collaboration with Stanford University, what they found is that looking at a very large number of severe depression diagnoses, they went through records, 1995 to 2012, 185,000 records. Severe depression diagnoses increased 11% during the switchover from daylight savings time to standard time. They say this is especially true for people that are prone to develop depression, as well as their relatives, who may be the first ones to notice the depressive symptoms. And so they interviewed a guy named Norman Rosenthal. I've had him as a guest here on our Intelligent Medicine podcast a few years back. And he's an expert on something called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, appropriately named SAD. SAD is something that is a seasonal pattern of depression exacerbated by light deprivation. And he says that gaining an hour of daylight in the morning doesn't offset the loss of an hour of light in the afternoon. Light, he says, has a powerful effect on the brain. It can be helpful for those suffering from depression because light is a natural booster of serotonin. Serotonin is the S in SSRI. These are medications that are designed to boost serotonin, Prozac, the original one, but you have Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, and so on. These medications boost serotonin, but so does sunlight. And when you wake up in the dark, you don't get that boost. So what can you do? Well, you need to build some time in the morning for getting outside and getting some light in your eyes. And the colder it gets, the more loath people are to do that. But that is a very important way to recalibrate your circadian clock and help your brain build more serotonin as a bulwark against winter depression. The alternative is to get a light box. Bring more light in your home, invest in a light box, or place more lamps throughout the house. And walk first thing in the morning to take advantage of morning light. Alternatively, you can plan a winter vacation somewhere nice and sunny. Go down to Florida, the Caribbean, or Arizona, Southern California. Put a timer in your bedside lamp to turn on half an hour before you wake up. That's a good way to overcome morning exhaustion. You know, people feel like, you know, they've been run over by a truck, need, you know, half a pot of coffee to wake up. Light is going to help you revive your morning energy. And don't oversleep or stay in bed because you're going to miss the precious hours of morning light. You know, say you wake up at 11 o'clock, you'll only have about 6 hours of daylight, and that's not enough to get your circadian clock going. According to researchers, to combat the lethargy and depression that may accompany this transition, decreasing alcohol and caffeine intake this weekend may make a difference because alcohol and caffeine impair the activity of your circadian clock. And could melatonin help? Well, actually, melatonin is the opposite of what you need because melatonin is what gets made in the darkness. And some studies suggest that taking melatonin in the winter, if you suffer from SAD, may make things actually a little worse. 888-302-3684 is their number. We'll be taking your phone calls momentarily on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers. Congratulations! You've survived disco nights and 12-hour days, not to mention fast food and life in the fast lane. Now it's time to fight the effects of modern life in the digital age and aging itself with one of life's natural miracles, garlic. Its healing and health-giving properties are great. But what about the odor? Well, you don't need to eat raw cloves to get all the good things in garlic. Just take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. University research confirms that Kyolic is the one true antioxidant garlic supplement. It helps defend you against free radicals and helps keep blood pressure and cholesterol in check. So if Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract can do everything researchers report, just think what it could do for you. See for yourself. For more information, go to kyolic.com. That's K-Y-O-L-I-C.com. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. For people who take their garlic and their health seriously, look for Kyolic where quality natural supplements are sold.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and a great newsletter article this week about why you might consider elimination of gluten, even if your doctor tells you, no, you don't have celiac disease, no, you're not sensitive to gluten. There are many other pathways by which gluten can cause problems for you. And last time I checked, there were 2,000 or more views on Facebook of that article when I posted it on social media. So lots of traction, lots of people concerned with their potential to be sensitive to gluten, and yet many medical professionals tell them, oh, it's just a figment of your imagination. Well, so not. It's a very real phenomenon. Check it out at drhoffman.com. All right, David in Iowa, how you doing?
Oh, how you doing, my favorite doctor?
Oh, hey.
Yeah, well, you well deserve it. Hey, you know what? I'm not going to talk about myself real quick, but I have been going around. My wife is starting to stress out because she's told me not to talk about politics.
Right.
But
she wants to make your home a politics-free zone, right? Because it gets stressful.
Right. Anyway, I go around and I talk to a lot of people, all right? And I can't help but ask them if they're going to vote or not. And everyone that I see that says, well, I'm not going to vote, they have this look on their face, and I'm sure you understand your body language and everything. These people are really under stress. Exactly. You're right on the target here.
Yep.
And I was wondering if, I tried to tell them, I tried to explain the logic to them. I said, I think they're afraid of being wrong, making a mistake. And that's why they don't want to vote either way. So they don't have that self-guilt of, I picked the wrong one or something like that, something silly.
So bottom line, what you're saying is that people are confused. They're, upset about the election. They're not happy with one or another candidate. I think some people are real partisans of one side or the other. And more and more people are falling in line as the choice needs to get made. But, I'm noticing this. I'm noticing this in social interactions. People are on a hair trigger. They're upset. They're angry. And, it's not going to get better after the election. Because guess what? About 49% of the populace is going to lose, and they're going to feel awful bad about it because we made this election seem like the apocalypse. And, in some ways, yeah, it's very consequential. But in other ways, you've got to put in perspective because throughout history, people have lived, survived, procreated, been creative, and led happy lives even under governments that have not been entirely acceptable to them. You know, it's look at the annals of mankind, you know, from time immemorial. So we need to put it in perspective, David, and I thank you for your, your contribution.
You know, what I actually try to do, I try to suggest something to him. I say, well, think about it, you know, and that may not be the right thing to say, but, you know, I try to give him an example, you know, of what the, how they should look at it, you know.
Yeah. Well, wonderful editorial in the Wall Street Journal today, and maybe, you know, check it out. And, you know, Wall Street Journal, you may think, oh, it's a partisan paper, but it's a beautiful article because what it says is that the country has divided into tribes. And it's actually written by a psychologist. And the psychologist said that this is very characteristic of human nature, is that we're very tribal. We tend to, you know, whether it's our family unit or whether it's our social unit, humans tend to aggregate in tribes. And from the very beginning of time, we've been killing each other, you know, with rocks, with arrows, with catapults, and then finally with, you know, the super weaponry that we have because of tribalism. And we kind of got to have to recognize that this is a human trait, get past it, because otherwise, you know, we're going to have a civil war. 888-302-3684 is our number. And, you know, this weekend, you know, what I did, I needed to get away from the media. I mean, we tend to be fascinated by what's going on. We watch cable news from morning to night. I said, let me get away from this because I need a break. I think all the facts are in. It's time to go to the voting booth. And, you know, let me just do some nice, entertaining things and get away from it. So hopefully that's what you're doing with this program, because you're not going to get a big dose of politics. 888-302-3684 is our number. And if you're interested in managing your blood pressure without medication, and that's a very desirable goal, I've got some exciting news about an effective non-drug treatment. It's the Zona Plus. Now, the Zona Plus, what is it? It's a simple handheld smart device that you hold for 12 minutes once a day. And I've checked it out, and our patients have used it, and it's very practical, and it's effective. It guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology, and it's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure 10% or more naturally. There's proof that it works. At least 22 clinical studies confirm that regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of, get this, 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks with no negative side effects, and it works for 9 in 10 people, according to studies. So you can try it risk-free through a special offer we've created for our Intelligent Medicine listeners. Zona Health offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Try the Zona Plus for 3 months and see if it works for you. And if it doesn't, you can return it for a full refund. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company's now offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. So to find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman. That's 866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. It's the Zona Plus. Really works. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. We'll be right back. More of your questions, 888-302-3684.
Congratulations! You've survived disco nights and 12-hour days, not to mention fast food and life in the fast lane. Now it's time to fight the effects of modern life in the digital age and aging itself with one of life's natural miracles, garlic. Its healing and health-giving properties are great, but what about the odor? Well, you don't need to eat raw cloves to get all the good things in garlic. Just take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. University research confirms that Kyolic is the one true antioxidant garlic supplement. It helps defend you against free radicals and helps keep blood pressure and cholesterol in check. So if Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract can do everything researchers report, just think what it could do for you. See for yourself. For more information, go to Kyolic.com. That's Kyolic.com. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. For people who take their garlic and their health seriously, look for Kyolic where quality natural supplements are sold.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 888-302-3684 is a number. We got a call from Steve from the swing state of Ohio, Akron, in fact. How you doing, Steve?
Yeah, hello, doctor. Hi. I'm presently on finasteride, a drug used to make the prostate smaller.
Yes.
And I have two questions concerning this medication.
Sure.
recently on another program, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum mentioned you can cut the 5 milligram finasteride in half and take it only 3 times a week and obtain similar benefits as if you took the whole drug every day. And the second question, a urologist said finasteride is effective in shrinking the prostate for about up to 2 years. And after 2 years, the drug doesn't work, and there's no reason to take it anymore. And what is your take on these two questions?
Okay. Well, so what finasteride is, it's Proscar. Proscar is a medication that was developed to shrink the prostate because it blocks DHT, which is dihydrotestosterone, the so-called bad testosterone. And it also, consequentially, has a beneficial effect on hair loss in men in particular, to some extent in women, although it's dangerous for women who could get pregnant to use because it can cause very bad birth defects. So, you know, don't go taking your husband's Proscar if you have a chance of getting pregnant. So what Dr. Teitelbaum says about it may be true, that you can economize by taking less, save money, and get the same results. As to whether there's a point of diminishing returns, it may be true that over time it works to shrink the prostate. It really does. I mean, it not only improves urination symptoms, because, I mean, if you shrink the prostate, that's blocking your urethra, putting pressure on your urethra, allowing, you know, urine to back up in your bladder, you're going to experience an improvement in your urinary symptoms. And it may be that after 2 years, you max out on that effect and that it's no longer, there's no longer any additional benefit. Now, another curious aspect of that is, well, if it shrinks the prostate, does it prevent prostate cancer? And the answer is maybe overall it prevents prostate cancer. But the concern is that if you develop prostate cancer while you're on it, it's likely to be a prostate cancer that's less treatable. Because you, I guess the reason is that since it's a hormone blocker, you've maxed out on the hormone blockade effect already, and the cancer is going to be more resistant to our methods that, you know, the standard methods whereby we block testosterone and shrink the cancer. So there you have it. A lot of people compare Proscar to saw palmetto, which is also a 5-HT blocker, but it's a weaker 5-HT blocker. And it's not as effective as Proscar or Avodart. Avodart is another 5-HT blocker, which is used both for hair and for the prostate. So, or, you know, I guess he hung up, but that's the answer to that question. 888-302-3684 is the number. We got more calls, but I wanted to share this with you because it's marathon weekend here in New York. And my apartment here in New York is a mere, maybe 5 or 6 blocks from where the runners will parade by tomorrow. Some of you may be hearing this show after the fact, but it's still about 20 hours before the start of the marathon here in New York. And there's a study here that looks at the proposition that lighter shoes may actually make a difference in running performance, particularly for long-distance races in elite runners. Okay? It makes sense that running with heavier shoes on will cause you to exert more energy than running with lighter shoes. But does it make a difference in running performance? And so, you know, it could be that these ultralight shoes are just kind of a placebo effect. They feel better, you know, you feel, you know, that you're pulling less weight. And I've wondered about this myself because I've gone back and forth from super light shoes that don't offer much support, can be damaging to your feet, to, you know, ultra cushioned shoes that offer you lots of protection from injury, but you're dragged down with a couple of ounces of additional weight. I look at the weight of shoes that I buy. You know, they range from a mere, you know, 5 or 6 ounces, which is almost nothing, to, you know, up to 16 or 18 ounces. That's a pound or so of shoe that you're going to be hauling those 26 miles. So The researchers in this study looked at elite runners. And I think that's where it makes a difference, because for the average Joe, you know, whether your shoes are heavy or light doesn't make a lot of difference. But for elite runners, they're really at the upper end of their performance, and every little difference counts for them. So unbeknownst to the runners, the researchers added small lead pellets inside the tongues of two of the three pairs of shoes to be used by each runner. So there was light shoes that had 100 grams of lead pellets in them, and shoes that had 300 grams of lead pellets in them. And then they tested their running performance on various courses. And what they found was the runners ran roughly 1% slower for each 100 grams of lead added to the shoes in a 3,000-meter race. Now, 3,000 meters is what? 2 miles, approximately. So the implication of this, though, is that elite marathon runners wearing shoes 100 grams lighter than normal could potentially run about 57 seconds faster. That's nearly a full minute, and that's huge. So it turns out that the world's record in the marathon is held by Dennis Kimeto of Kenya in 2014. It was incredible, 2:02:57, almost under 2 hours, while wearing shoes that weighed, wait for this, about 230 grams. That's just over 8 ounces. So that's a very light shoe for such a long distance, minimal cushioning, and everything sacrificed in terms of weight. So there you have it. Light shoes can make a difference. But for me, probably, and for you, probably not. Put the premium on cushioning so you don't damage your feet. Let's talk to Maria in Connecticut. How you doing, Maria?
I am fine. How are you, Dr. Hoffman? I'm good. A very long-time listener, and I called you a couple of times. Last time was last year, and you helped me a lot with my hip surgery with the Ostinol and all that.
Good. Turned out well for you. Good.
My surgery was fine. Last week, somebody asked you about calcium, and yeah. I started thinking, I take 500 milligrams and then 200 on the multi. But I have aortic valve stenosis.
Right.
Should I stop? At first I thought maybe every other day, the 500.
Okay,
because
I can address that, Maria. Let me talk to the issue of calcium supplementation, especially in women. You know, women are the ones who take the most calcium because they're at risk for osteoporosis. And there are some studies that suggest that high-dose calcium may increase arterial calcification. And it's becoming clearer and clearer that there may be such an effect. I mean, some studies show, not a big deal. But more and more studies are suggesting that especially calcium supplementation, not dietary calcium for some reason. You can have milk and cheese and calcium-rich vegetables. That's not going to make a difference. But supplemental calcium, for some reason, may increase the risk of calcification in the arteries. Now, obviously, the aorta is an artery, and aortic stenosis is the most common valvular problem that people experience as they age. But I don't think that there is a likelihood that taking calcium is the cause of the problem. The reason that I state that is because the aortic valve receives a lot of pressure and a lot of turbulence through the millions of times that your heart beats through your lifetime. And with each beat, there's a little bit of, shall we say, erosion or stress that's placed on that delicate membrane. And the response of the body to any kind of pressure or stress is calcification. It's a way to repair something that is experiencing injury or inflammation. And the result is that the vast majority of people, by the time they're in their 70s or 80s, are going to have some degree of aortic calcification. It's almost inevitable. And I actually saw a case this week where somebody had aortic calcification, but they had no calcification of their more crucial coronary arteries, the arteries that provide blood to the heart. So zero calcification where it counts, where it could cause a heart attack, but they had a little valvular calcification, which is, I guess, normal and physiological and inevitable in an older population. So my suggestion is that you limit your supplemental calcium to maybe 500 milligrams per day and leave it at that. Not worry that the calcium is causing your aortic stenosis. Your aortic stenosis is a function of the fact that, just the aging process. And for some people, it catches up to them, and they develop what's called critical aortic stenosis, which means that it's harder for the blood to pump. The heart enlarges. You can be at risk for atrial fibrillation or heart enlargement, congestive heart failure. And therefore, they perform a type of valvular surgery. And it used to be they have to open your chest and, you know, open your heart. It's literally open heart surgery, which is something you don't want to do in an 85-year-old or a 92-year-old. But recently, I had dinner with somebody I went to college with. And here, you know, 45 years later, he's a top heart surgeon out in California, in San Francisco. And he says he's now specializing in a procedure called TAVERS, T-A-V-E-R-S. And that's a repair of the aortic valve that can be done with the catheter that's inserted into your femoral artery or even your brachial artery. It was a technique introduced in Europe that now enables very old individuals who might otherwise die because they're not great surgical candidates to get the kind of surgery that can give them a, you know, additional few years of trouble-free life. So that's an exciting development. That valve can be replaced. But, you know, just because you have calcification doesn't mean you're going to need valve replacement. It's almost normal to see that in an older person. They just note that on the echocardiogram result or, you know, on some test result and say, yeah, you got some calcification, no big whoop. Okay?
I'm taking carvedilol. Although I have low blood pressure, the cardiologist put me on carvedilol so that I guess the blood doesn't go with so much pressure on the valve.
Exactly, yeah. It's to sort of ease the load. It reduces what's called afterload on the heart, which can be an issue that promotes heart problems later. So that would be the rationale for using that medication. That's okay, you know.
And I have been taking 500 milligrams, so I'll continue with that, right?
Sounds like fine. So call us in a couple of years because, that seems to be your cycle. And let us know how things are going then, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad our advice has helped you along, Maria. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
You remodel your kitchen, you remodel your bathroom. Now remodel your gut. That's right, your gut. Any successful remodel job requires workers to show up with the necessary tools and ready to work. Well, it's just like that with probiotics. They need to come with prebiotics to encourage growth, as well as postbiotics to nourish the gut. And Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are the only brand of probiotics that do just that. Dr. O'Hara's is the only probiotic capsule that contains a rich nutritional prebiotic, along with a full spectrum of 12 selected probiotic strains and naturally derived postbiotics. During a 3-year fermentation process, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics create healthy, organic nutrients and the diversity of flora that are necessary for long-term digestive health. So remodel your gut today with the right workers. Get Dr. O'Hara's probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide today.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the intelligent medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about Intelligent Medicine.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and our next caller, Jerry from New York. How you doing, Jerry?
Sir, thank you for your radio program and for the newsletter.
Yes. Thank you for subscribing.
Yep. Well, it's terrific. And so my question is about stem cells.
Yep.
And so when stem cells are withdrawn from the body, are they mm-hmm. all noble cells or are there villains involved so that when they're spun down, do the villains come back in to the
well,
body?
Well, that's an interesting, question to ask about stem cells. I mean, the theory on stem cells is that they are what are called pluripotential, which means that they have the ability to go wherever they need to go and grow into whatever they need to grow into. And so, you know, one might ask, well, what about the possibility that a stem cell could be a rogue stem cell that could do a bad thing, that could, say, grow into a cancer? Because actually, some research on cancer suggests that the most resistant type of cancer, the type of cancer that no longer responds to chemotherapy or radiation and just grows like wildfire, is akin to stem cells. They're very primitive cells that are no longer vulnerable to the usual methods of zapping them. And so that's been a concern in stem cell research. I recently, you know, since you subscribed to the newsletter, you probably know that I wrote an article in September entitled Stem Cells Panacea or Snake Oil.
Right.
And there I expressed some skepticism about stem cells, because what is happening now is we have a tale of two cities, two scientific communities. One scientific community that's very conservative about stem cells, that are rigorously pursuing research in university hospitals and research centers, and they're very conservative about their predictions of how stem cells are going to revolutionize medicine. Eventually they will. There will be cures for Parkinson's disease. There may be cures for diabetes whereby we can create stem cells that repopulate the pancreas and make insulin. There will be stem cells that may regenerate brain cells in Parkinson's disease. There'll be stem cells that we may be able to inject into the heart. And, you know, if your heart gets knocked out with a heart attack, you know, and very serious damage occurs, maybe we'll be able to regrow heart muscle cells, and so on and so on and so on. You know, joint cartilage. So, but there's another community where they're taking some of the findings and the prospects for stem cells, and they're saying, hey, no problem. We'll just extract some stem cells from your abdominal fat or from your bone marrow, and we'll re-inject it into you, and it's going to fix whatever ails you, because stem cells are great. Well, it's not that easy, because you have to tell stem cells where to go, and sometimes you have to introduce them directly, say, into the brain in Parkinson's disease or into the heart muscle and in patients with heart problems. And also, you have to direct the stem cells to grow into the proper tissue. They don't necessarily know that they have to regenerate, say, an eye or an ear or a liver. Because if it were that easy, I think conventional medicine would be using stem cells routinely to treat all and sundry. The technology isn't there yet. So, in fact, it's to the point where I think pretty soon the FDA is going to step in and really put the kibosh on unauthorized stem cell administration outside really strict research settings, because people are spending enormous amounts of money for treatments with a dim prospect of cure. I mean, it's, look, the hopeless and the very, very, you know, people with no recourse who are opting for stem cells. There's no insurance reimbursement for them. And there are actually cases in which stem cells can create trouble. Stem cells have grown into cancers in some cases when injected into the spine. Unusual types of cancers have developed. There's a case of glioproliferative lesion of the spinal cord as a complication of what's called stem cell tourism. Somebody went to Russia, they went to China, India, they got stem cell treatments injected directly into their spine and developed a very, very unusual type of spinal tumor. This is something that can happen with stem cells. So right now, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic about the potential of stem cells. I don't administer stem cells because I don't believe that Outside of research settings, we have the answers. The other thing that stem cells are being used for, and this is maybe more plausible, is for, say, knee problems. You inject stem cells in the knees. But I recently read a review of research on stem cells, and what they found is that there's very little evidence that even in that setting, you know, where it's not brain tissue, it's just simple cartilage that needs to be regenerated, that they even do the job. And the problem with any kind of therapy that you get on your knee is there's a very high placebo response. You know, you pay a lot of money, you get an injection, they tell you that you're going to be better. And there are even studies that say that the surgery on knees makes a little difference, that really what makes the biggest difference when you have a knee problem or a meniscus tear is just doing good old-fashioned physical therapy. So I'm a skeptic about stem cell therapy at this current time, but I think that it offers tremendous potential. Over the next 10, 20, 30 years, we're going to see some real advances. We'll be rebuilding organs. We'll be regenerating all kinds of sick body parts. The question is, can our nation's economy afford the cost? Because the costs will be astronomical. Who's going to get the therapies? We'll have to ration them accordingly. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.